Hi, I'm Daryl, and I'm a meeting planner.
And I'm Amanda, and I'm also a meeting planner. And this is Miracle Workers.
It's the podcast for meeting planners by meeting planners. Hi, I'm Daryl, and I'm a meeting plan. Oh, wait, we already did that. I guess we're a little rusty over here at the Meeting Planners Podcast headquarters. So how about that new opening, Amanda? Ah, yeah, this is the time that Amanda would say how she loves the new opening and we don't have to record a new one each time we do an episode. But she didn't, because she's not here. Now, don't worry, Amanda fans, it's not a permanent thing. She's not tied up in my basement, I don't think. But Amanda will be back soon. And in the meantime, we're relaunching the podcast for 2024. Now, by now, you're either saying, where the hell have you guys been? Or I haven't heard you since last March. I mean, what's going on? Or you might be saying, why do I care about all this? Why can't we just get to the episode? Well, you're both right. We were on an extended break, mostly due to real-world jobs that actually pay us real hard currency money and not in the fame and glory that we get by doing this audio marvel for you. And, you know, for the other group, then those that are waiting for the episode to start, it already has, right? This is the episode. This is how we do things here. You're just probably not used to it yet, but don't worry, you'll pick it up quick. So a few notes. First, our former home over at anchor.fm was purchased by Spotify in the last year. So if you're trying to find us online, go over there to Spotify or open the app on your phone or wherever you're listening to us. Click on the search bar, delete out the words Taylor Swift or maybe the words Public Enemy, depending on your musical taste, and type in Miracle Workers. We're going to come right up. Now, second, due to the switch of platforms, we no longer have control if or when a commercial is inserted into our episode. So you may hear one right now. Or now? Or, well, at some point, the show may be interrupted. We apologize. We have little control over it. Now, since I'm flying solo today, I'm going to cut right to the chase. A few years ago, we did 3 episodes on using events to change the world, where we talked to our guests about race, sexual identity, gender differences, and how we can, well, to borrow a term from this week's guest, claim our differences to make the world a more accepting and brighter place. Well, while we talked about black versus white, male versus female, straight versus gay, we missed out on one of the largest populations in the world, and one really that's routinely been discriminated against, both in the world at large and in the meetings industry. We're talking about Asian and Asian Americans. Now, let me take you back to last January. It was cold, very cold, in the Ohio night, and I was in beautiful Columbus, Ohio. At least I think it was beautiful, but it was dark and cold. Anyway, it was the PCMA Convening Leaders Conference, and one day was late. It was after a full day of talks and education and exhibits and more talks and networking and maybe a few parties tossed in there for good measure. I was, as the kids say, lacking all my riz. Or, you know, for those of us who are older, I was just tired. As I'm waiting to take the elevator up to my hotel room, I saw a woman standing next to me, and I introduced myself. I was really struck by her LED name tag, both because I really wanted one for myself, and because hers said, "Aren't Asians all alike?" Now, I had to think about it, and she clearly saw my thinking on my face, or maybe the steam was rising from my head, I don't know. But we struck up a really wonderful and authentic conversation that stuck with me to this day. Now, fast forward a year and a few emails, LinkedIn posts, and texts back and forth, and we are pleased to have Asian American ambassador and meeting planner Jolene Jang join us this week to talk about Asians and Asian Americans and how we as planners can do a better job of creating inclusive events for them. Now, a little background on Jolene. She was one of the founding board members and the first speaker of ILEA Seattle. She was the president of the National Speakers Association of the Northwest for 3 years, and among her recognitions are a PCMA Community Advocate finalist, Smart Meetings Magazine, a list of smart women in meetings to award, innovator. And a friend of our show, Courtney Stanley, named her a woman to watch and on her list, and Meetings Today gave her a Trendsetter Award. Now, she was also a founding member of the Asian and Pacific Islander Event Profs Group, or API Event Profs Group. Now, let's get to our interview. Welcome back, and what a way to ring in the first Miracle Workers show, not only in 2024, but for those of you who were regular listeners, in just a little while since our last recording. But I could not think of a better way to start this and a better topic to start this off with. So welcome, Jolene Jang. We're so happy to have you here. And I have to start off because I can't not ask this question. Aren't all Asians alike?
Yeah, I wish people would laugh every time because that would show that, oh, yeah, yeah, of course they're not all alike, but reality sets in, Daryl, and people think that we are all alike. And so that's why I talk about it. And, you know, people, there was a study about a year ago that surveyed Americans, and 42% of Americans could not name one single Asian American. And so for your listeners, who do you got out there? Can you name one? And by the way, Bruce Lee, he died 51 years ago. And Daryl, you know, I kind of joke about this, but I think it is true that people really just don't know anything about Asian Americans. And over the last 3 years, I've done over 225 presentations around talking about Asian Americans and why our lived experience matters. So, you know,
Wow. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I've got a couple, but yeah. One's Korean.
And are they Asian, so or are they Asian American?
Yeah,
and also, right? They're different.
I was going Ha-Sung Kim, the shortstop for the Padres, but he's Korean. He's not Asian American. Let's see here. I got a couple, but that's, you know, in our neighborhood, you know, some of my neighbors, some of my friends. I've got some clients who are board members or meeting planning committee
members. That's good. And what prominent Asians that are in the mainstream?
Prominent. Well, I will, let's see here.
Yeah. Okay, so.
I'm stumped. All right, no, not off the top of my head.
Daryl, you're on the spot, so that's harder, but also.
Well, wait. Vice President Kamala Harris is Asian.
Okay, there you
American.
Go. Good, okay. So, a lot of people just don't know anything about us, and so that is a problem, and I'll share with you why. But first, I also wanted to share with you that it's not your fault, and listeners out there, that we don't know anything about Asian Americans, because history is not told. Our history is not told. I do have a quiz. You ready, Daryl? So
I love quizzes. Hit
okay.
Me.
So
is the answer B?
Which U.S. military unit was the most decorated of all time? Which military unit of all time?
The 1st Cavalry, 3rd Division. I don't know.
That is a good guess. So in World War II, so it was the 442. Have you heard of the 442?
I have not. It was not an episode on MASH, so chances are I have not.
No, it was not. But there was a Japanese American on MASH who played a Korean.
Yes.
Yeah. Hear his story.
Pat Morita, who was then Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
He did play Korean. You're spot on.
Yeah, well,
it's like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like in terms of talking about Asian Americans, I need to gamify this because people don't care. Like, why does it apply to our business at all? And so I need to gamify it and tie them in. So the reason I brought up that the Japanese American, the segregated unit, was the most decorated is because we're not even in history. So, you know, so many of us who are not white and have contributed to America, but our history is not told and is banned. So, and by the way, since you like the quiz, so the desertion rate at that time was 18% during World War II. How many deserters do you think in the 30,000 Japanese Americans, how many were deserters?
2%.
Zero.
Like the milk.
Zero people.
Oh, like the milk I drink. Skim.
Yeah.
Okay, I got
you. Okay, yeah, exactly. So I think what's important here is that there are Asian Americans, our voices are not heard. We're out there, we're telling stories, and we are ignored. And so how this comes to be important with the event industry, we are there, we are out there, again, not heard, not represented. And we're also not in the diversity. People are not calling us, hey, we're doing this diversity panel. We'd like to have some Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander representation. That call isn't happening, right? We have to fight our way to be represented. So there you go.
That is, yeah, it's interesting. I think back, and some of our listeners will remember, back in 21, we did a three-part series on diversity. And we talked a little bit about, we had one, not a little bit, we had an episode based around race, but primarily African-Americans. We had an episode based on sexuality and gender identity. And we had an episode based on, the Women's Day was also gender identity, but very clearly, in this case, talking about women versus men. And, I don't think we even said Asian once in any of those episodes. So, you know, it is interesting that we have this talk now. I'm happy we're here.
Yeah, and it's not too late. I mean, it's very common that we are not included ever. So thank you for bringing me on. And also, you know, when we think about the Asian American category, that's people, descendants from 48 countries, 3 territories, 2,300 languages. You have a ton of religions. You have 25,000 islands. You have multiracial people like myself. I'm Japanese, Chinese, and Swedish, and I'm fourth generation in America. And we're all like thought of as Chinese and as perpetual foreigners. So that's a problem. And how this matters, one of the reasons it matters to your event planner listeners is that safety is an issue. And because when COVID hit, so China is blamed, and everybody who has black hair in America, who is Asian and has black hair is blamed, and you know, Kung flu and China flu. And so we're all, people think we're all the same, and then they attack us every single day. So as your planners, when you're planning your events, safety is an issue. Before I leave my house as an Asian American woman, I need to plan out, where am I going? Will I be safe? And who knows where I'm going to be?
That's something that I wish we didn't have to, I wish you didn't have to think about, because I don't think about it as, and you know, I am a, for those people that may be confused, I am a straight white male, and I generally don't, you know, claim otherwise. And so, yeah, you know, that for me, it's not even a second thought. I go out of the house, I just got to make sure I remember to bring my keys. But other than that, I'm okay. I did forget my wallet last week, but that's a whole nother story. So let's bring this to event planning for a second. Think about from the planner perspective. So I want to break this down into corporate planning and nonprofit other planning. We'll tie it back together in a second, but let's talk about the corporate planning for a second. What is the advantage of being more inclusive to Asians and Asian Americans, you know, besides just trying to be a good person?
Well, companies, you know, what's important? Making money, honey. So if you look, you know, as when you are thinking about business development, how can we bring in more business? Well, who's the group that is the fastest growing population in America? That's the Asian American market. And their purchasing power has shot up in the last 20 years by 314%. And they have the highest incomes as well as the lowest. And they have the highest level of education, and they're the global majority. So wouldn't you want to be marketing to this group and be trying to attract this group and not offend this group? So if you want to grow your membership, if you want to grow your attendance at your events, if you want to attract and retain new customers, well, I think you want to think about Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders. That's just kind of a simple thing. And in 2045, the US population is, you know, it'll be over 50% people of color. And Daryl, if you add people of color and the marginalized groups and people who have disabilities and LGBTQ QIA, that is a huge group that is not, that is ignored and marketed to. So I think it's a smart business decision to include Asian Americans.
You know, one of the interesting things that you have in some of your educational materials, and we're going to post those, we'll post those up in the show notes, was the sunglass manufacturer who had I will call it an Asian model, for lack of a better word. Please correct me if
Asian
that's not
fit.
The not an Asian fit. Thank you. For smaller faces, and it's interesting because, you know, I don't consider, well, I don't identify as Asian in any way, shape, or form. And while I could stand to lose a few pounds, I actually like sunglasses with a narrower fit. And I shop and I go online and I buy something, and it comes, you know, from the nice folks at Amazon, who don't sponsor this podcast, but if they want to, there's a sponsorship spot available. And they're too big. And so to have that, it's not only an Asian market that they're catering to with this the Asian fit, but it does let consumers know that they recognize that this is a market segment for them. So it's interesting like that.
Yeah, and so they started. So let me continue with that, because
please.
So it started Oakley, right? Oakley started this like 10 years ago. And when I went shooting during COVID, I don't have a gun, I don't plan to, but I think it's good to know. And there are a lot of Asian Americans who've gunned up, by the way. But so Oakley started with the name Asian Fit, and now it is Universal Fit. And so they measure the nose bridge and some other, like the narrowness that you're talking about. And you have my Ray-Ban and my Maui Jim and a bunch of high-end glasses. These are luxury glasses. A lot of them are $200 to $400 that have universal fit. So are they trying to be kind and trying to be help the little Asians out? No, they're making money and it's worth it for them. And so I think people think about being inclusive as warm fuzzies. There's business to be had. And I want you to make the money, but I also want you to learn about the joy of learning about the cultures too. And also remember about lawsuits. So do you remember, Daryl, do you remember it was Gucci? There was a turtleneck that you pulled the turtleneck all the way and it was a blackface.
Ooh, no, I don't remember this, but it's very, very cringy.
Yeah, cringy, right? It's like, oh, there were no black people on that design team or anywhere, right? That was so ridiculous. And so there are Asians who are discriminated against who are now fighting back and suing their employers for discrimination. And so when you think about Asian Americans, oh, we can just step all over them. We can give them the terrible jobs and they're good worker bees and they're not going to complain and we can treat them like our pet. That's going to be changing. I mean, I empower Asians to speak up. So watch out.
Okay. Well, I hope that for those of us, I'm out on the corporate side, so I'm going to go to the nonprofits here really quickly. You know, I think it's interesting. It's not only, you know, empowering what you were just talking about. For me, I see it as not only empowering Asian and Asian Americans, which is you are doing, but I think it's empowering all of us to say, hey, there's a bigger world out there. And it's not just as simple as black and white, you know, men, you know, male and female, that there's a spectrum. And we need to make sure that we are representing as best as possible, you know, that entire spectrum, that everybody with, or I should say everybody within that spectrum feels comfortable, you know, claiming their own heritage or their own place in the spectrum. But specifically for nonprofits and those of us that have boards and committees, you know, what's something that we can be doing to be more inclusive? For me, my groups, we always try to go out and make sure that we have speakers of Asian descent on stage. And in being a medical, you know, being primarily medical organizations, they tend to be fairly well represented. I won't say over or under, I'd just say fairly well. But what's another step that we could all take?
On your boards and your committees, if you want to recruit new members, then you need to show that you have Asian American or Asian representation, depending, you know, if you're a global organization or not. Representation is key. And for example, I mean, I'll give you an example. So it was 2 years ago, I was a finalist for the PCMA, Professional Conference Management Association Advocate of the Year. And I was wondering, should I go to this conference? I don't know. Where is it? Okay, it's Columbus, Ohio. Wow, I don't know anything about that place. And then I looked at the website. Is there any evidence of any Asians on this website whatsoever? Nope, there was not. There was one person that had black hair, but you know, can't tell from the back. And then I looked to the website for the leadership. What's their leadership look like? And there was two East Asians, and they were Americans on the board. I thought, okay, all right. But that doesn't necessarily, okay. And then I looked at the speaker lineup. So out of the 73 speakers at this convention on this global event, none of them were Asian American. Zero. So that is not, what do you think about that, Daryl?
No, I mean, I look at it a different way, but I get to the same result. I look at it as, and PC, we'll use PCMA, and I think people have heard my rants about education and speakers in general in our industry. You know, this is a podcast for planners by planners, and we very purposely and intentionally do not offer spots to talk to suppliers. And yet when we get on stage at PCMA, you never see or MPI or anywhere, you really never see a planner give a keynote, but the head of Hilton Hotels or, friend of the show, Mike Dominguez from Alhai, will get up there and talk about how good the industry is, how strong it is. And I say, well, yeah, it's strong for you because you're charging $50 resort fees. I don't want to tease a future episode, but that is coming up. And sure, you should be making money hand over fist. So for you, it's good. But for me, I don't see myself represented up on stage. Culturally, ethnically, gender identity, absolutely, 100%. There's a lot of straight white males on stage. Great. But I care about what I identify with within our industry is in my job function. Mm-hmm. And I represent the planners. And if I don't see planners on stage, and it's an organization where we wake up more than 50% of the population, it's a problem for me. So I completely, Jillian, I completely understand what you're saying. And not to knock Columbus, because we do have one or two listeners who are in Columbus. I know that for a fact. It's a nice city, but I knew nothing about it either. Really, it took some convincing for me to come out there myself. I'm happy I did because, I told the story. I don't think you were on for the intro, but I told the story of how we met around a name tag. And, that was one of the most authentic conversations it was definitely the most authentic conversation I had at that event, and one of the most authentic I believe I've had in the last 5 or 6 years. And so it really meant something to me. And that's why I'm glad we're finally able to have you on. But for, and that name tag actually reminds me, because this interview, remember, we're interviewing Jolene and all you're doing is listening to me talk. So it must be good. But I want to talk about name tags because, one thing that I struggle with as a planner, I will have attendees who are of Asian descent. They come from, they're telling me they're coming from China, they're coming from Japan, they're coming from Korea, but they anglicize their first name. And for me, that's a challenge because I want to make them feel welcome and I want them to feel like they don't have to look over their shoulder. So talk to me a little bit about the anglicizing of names I don't want to say it tends to be just Chinese. I'm sure there's a wider spectrum there as well. But am I right in saying, hey, I want to call you by your given name?
Okay, so we have to specify Asian and Asian American. Right now you're talking about Asian. You're talking about as a planner and people are flying in, I assume, from Asia. Yes. So let me talk to that specific situation first so we don't confuse it. I think it depends how much time you have with them. Are you having like a 10-minute conversation like, hey, how's it going? Did you find blah blah blah? And how much time do you have? Because you should use what's on their name tag. You should use what's on their name tag. That's what they put out there as their preferred name because they're coming over here. But I think it's more about building rapport. And so I think after you talk to them for a while, but you have to at least 10 minutes or longer. I mean, it's weird to quantify that, but it's different because they're Asian, right? From Asia, from Korea, from Japan, wherever they're from. Now let's talk about in America. Okay, so a situation where why don't you give me a situation and we'll talk about that.
Well, Jared, fine. I'll give you a situation. Jolene, you come to my meeting, and I know this is an audio podcast. They should actually all be audio podcasts. It's an entirely different thing, but so people can't see. But Jolene, you appear to have at least Asian heritage, and you haven't. Your last name is Jang. So my question is, where are you from? And so I know you put Seattle on your name badge, but where are you really from?
You're trying to be funny. Okay, so we have a couple of things going on here. So let's take one at a time. So for example, if I have my name, Jolene Jang, use my name tag. Always use the name tag. That's just you're going to be safe if you use the name tag. If you are curious, okay, it's a little bit hard to address that. But so let's talk about the where are you from thing. So if you ask if it's a global conference and you have people flying from all around the world, okay, it's a little bit more fair to say where you're from. But if you have an American conference and people are just national, do not ask that. That's like number one microaggression that Asian Americans get. And it doesn't matter. Let's say, well, I in Vietnam, I was there and I was just real curious and oh, I knew it. I knew it, But it doesn't, and maybe you're just curious, but it doesn't matter what your intention is. It matters how does the receiver feel. So when we are asked, where are you really from? It says, you are not from here. You're an outsider here. You do not belong here. You're a perpetual foreigner. And so all these things come with that. And all the thousands of times we were asked that, and it's been negative most of the time, all those stories of here we go again, I'm not accepted. So don't ask that. And get to know the person. So have a conversation and meet them again and meet them again and make them feel comfortable. So sometimes they actually might want to share with you their culture. So later on, you can ask, oh, I noticed something, right? Are you Korean? Or may I ask you, are you Korean? But that's a later conversation because Asians are used to being categorized. And Asian American women were hit on all the time. Like, oh, I've never been with an Asian, and or never been with a Vietnamese or whatever. And it's like that is so often and is really offensive. And I know that Daryl, you wouldn't know that. You're a white male, so how would you know that? So just trust me when I say that. They're just so common to be hit on and for guys to just categorize us. And so yeah, don't ask that.
So that well, that leads to my next question, Jolene.
Yeah.
Do you come here often?
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, I have a whole resource of like oh, there's this song that's oh, it's so good. It's this rap by a Korean and white guy, and it just says all the reasons why you should not ask this, and lots of articles because I know it's hard to understand, but you just have to trust that your understanding. You just got to listen to the Asian Americans and how they feel about it, and then adjust your behavior.
So sidebar, because I can't resist and I can never stay on
Yeah.
topic. Is the rapper Dumbfounded by any chance? Is his name
No.
Dumbfounded? Oh,
No,
okay.
but I know what you're talking about. No,
I
it's
like him. He's pretty good.
okay. Good. Well,
Not I mean I don't think about his heritage. I just like his style. But anyway, so if you are out there and you want to listen to some more Korean rap, Dumbfounded is one choice. So go find that. So coming back to the discussion, remember, this is an interview about Jolene. You talked about microaggressions before. Help me understand that, because I, you know, you say that and I think I might know, but I don't, not really sure. Tell me a little bit about microaggressions and how can our audience spot them and hopefully not fall into the trap.
Well, generally speaking, I mean, educate yourself. So it's just when people say, oh, you're Japanese. Oh my gosh. I once knew a Japanese lady. She was really, really nice. It's like, and so what happens, and people do this all the time where, oh yeah, I know a Korean. She makes really good kimchi. It's like, that has nothing to do with me. And so it's just a matter of like, they're trying to build rapport and they know not, they're not culturally competent and they know nothing about Asians. So they're trying to like say they're a safe person. Just talk to Asian Americans like normal, like humans, you know, just get to know us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the trap that I think that gets people in trouble in general when we're talking about anything in that we're talking back to that spectrum, right? That spectrum, everybody's different. We're also all people, right? I love that question when you see somebody who's pregnant, or you talk to somebody who's pregnant and you ask the question, well, what are you having? Well, I'm having a baby. I think I'm pretty sure it's not a squid. I'm pretty sure it's not a giant lump of clay. Like, it's, you know, yes, boy, girl, we get that part. But I mean, it's more to the point of, it's a silly question. You know, they're having a baby. Stop. Don't ask the obvious. Move on to the next question. You know, like how did you get knocked up? Right. I think that's the question that people want to hear. No,
Carol,
I kid.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
Remember diversity. This is a talk about. No, but I think, no, it's interesting that you say that. And I think it is really important that we have conversations. I will go back to the story that where I met Jolene. And that was, I was interested in the name tag. It got me to stop and say, that's interesting. But the conversation that you and I had were two people standing by an elevator. And it was not, oh, she's Asian, I want to find out more about her, or, you know, and certainly was not hitting on you. At least I hope not. And the thought, though, is that if we approach a lot of that in our profession, then and humanize people, then, you know, that makes it easier. We don't have to worry about stumbling as much. It becomes just a much more natural. We know how to treat somebody nicely and we know how to treat somebody not nicely. You know, just keep it simple.
So education is just going to help a lot with this. And I'd like to give you another microaggression. So the idea,
please,
when, let's say, you know, in the association, maybe there's two Asians and they're two Asian women, Jing and Mei. And so I guess they're both Chinese Americans, or they could be Chinese. And it's like, if you can't tell the difference, then talk with each one for 5 minutes. You know, if you can't tell, and you could tell everybody else, it's because you're not making the effort. You know, you're not used to Asian faces, or whatever faces, Black faces or Native American faces. So get to know them. And it's just, it is so offensive, because as an Asian American, well, I guess I'm not memorable. You know, you confuse me every single time. And so many Asians, you know, it's so offensive because we're just seen as Asian and not a person. You know, like, this person gets a name, this person gets remembered, we're confused with whatever Asian. I was at a Seattle meeting, industry meeting, and I was, within 15 minutes, there were two Asian Americans there, myself and this other woman, and we look pretty different. And this lady, this white lady, was like, I just met you. And I just, you know, and Daryl, this is Seattle, 17% Asians. There's a lot of Asians around. And it was just like, this is ridiculous. I didn't go back to that meeting. And at this meeting, it was so unwelcoming. It was very cliquey. I didn't even get a hello. And it wasn't because I was Asian, but it was just not a good system. So a lot of things that will help Asians and Asian Americans feel welcome are things that will help anybody in a new space.
Let me ask you about that story, and just diagramming it after the fact, you know, with my telestrator and Xing and Oing it. It wasn't the meeting that made you feel uncomfortable. It was this woman. Is that would you say that's fair?
The whole thing. So, and I'm coming from a meeting planner. I ran ILEA. I was on the founding board for Seattle and ran like 36 events, like 2001 for our group. And then for the National Speakers Association, I was president for 3 years for the state of Washington. And so I ran 4-hour to 8-hour meetings. And you know, I made sure people felt welcome. Now I'm coming from a team building and fun specialist background. So if you can't tell, I'm actually fun. And so it was, you know, we had a greeting process. Everybody walked away at least knowing 10 people. And so to come and so I have high standards, but you know, I went to this meeting and there's nothing. The person, I'm a new member. I got a name tag and you're on my own. You know, it's like, luckily.
Oh, that's a whole nother conversation.
It was terrible. Yeah. And not unlike the national group. And it's like, it was just blew my mind. Luckily, people were like, oh, Jolene, I remember you from 10 years ago. And oh, so-and-so, I remember you from 15 years ago. And so like, I'm in the industry and I haven't been in this particular group, but it's like, because I am memorable. So Daryl, you know, you talked about the name tag and we had our conversation, but I also do things to be memorable because I know people do confuse people. So I'm going to address ways that are going to make me stand out. And I have to do these things in order for people to remember me. And luckily I like to, but think of the people who are not extroverts.
Right.
Who kind of want to just kind of slink in. Well, those Asians, they're going to be confused. You know, people will confuse them. So I have to take much more effort with my clothing, with the way I, you know, present myself.
Well, I mean, and that's not, if you like it, I guess it's okay, but
I shouldn't have to.
Exactly. I mean, this goes back to just being a good person. You shouldn't have to go through all that extra effort to be seen. I mean, I get ignored a lot at meetings too, but I think it's more like people don't want to talk to me, so they go the other way. you don't have that problem. So, but let's do, you brought up planners. Let's talk about this. You know, the goal here is to educate the planning community. And so if there is one thing that a planner can take away from this conversation that they can actionize and you know, start working on tomorrow, what's that one, that was Jolene's top thing that they can do?
Okay, actionize. Well, it's not going to be one. This won't count because we already talked about money is to be had. And it is fruitful. It is a financial smart choice to include Asian Americans, both to recruit them, you know, to work for you, to be at your events on your board, and to sell to them. So that is a financial understanding that, and like believing in the numbers. And in terms of diversity, make sure that you include Asian Americans in that space, because there's, you know, as you said, you had this diversity thing, but didn't even think to include Asian Americans, and you're not alone with that. That's very common. And so as you're remembering to label the gluten-free, you know, food and to have a quiet room, remember that you need to also accommodate Asian Americans. So you asked me, Daryl, well, how do you do that? What's needed? Well, be informed. So for example, there's a firestorm of hate aimed at Asian Americans, and Asians are attacked every single day, usually with a knife. I can pull up on Instagram and boom, 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 or a salon being vandalized and brutalized. So understand that Asians may not feel safe at your meetings. They may not feel safe going to work. So when you have some offsites, be aware of that. Hey, do you want a carpool? right? So first, just I think before you do solutions, you have to have some level of understanding. And then connect with the affinity groups. If there are Asian American groups, talk to them. If there are not, start one. I had a 4-hour plane trip with John Reese from Encore, big audio company around the world. And they have all these affinity groups, but because of me, he's like, you know what? We're going to start one. So listen into what are their needs, what are their ideas, because they can help you with business. They can help you avoid lawsuits. And then you could see what is needed for your particular event that's coming up. And there's also what you can do is amplify Asian American voices. For example, in the event industry that we're in, API Event Profs, hashtag API Event Profs. There's a group of us who started this several years ago, and figure out what are we talking about? What do we think is needed? And then share what we're talking about. And here's a kind of a victory story that made me happy from the last PCMA convention. And by the way, did I even mention that yet? Daryl, did
no,
I mention?
No, tell me. We didn't talk about the PCMA. Did you talk about the one in San Diego, the convening leaders?
Yeah. Okay, so let me, yeah. Sorry.
Hit me, come on.
So I was a finalist for the Professional Conference Management Association Advocate of the Year for the work I do supporting Asian Americans. And before I went to this, before I decided, I need to evaluate, am I going to be safe when I leave my house and if I go to this conference? So I went to their website, PCMA website, to see, you know, what is this group? Is there any evidence that there are any Asian Americans or any Asians on this website? There were not. And so I went to the leadership to see, hey, do we have representation? There were two East Asians Americans. So, okay. And then I looked at the speaker lineup. Are there any topics around diversity? I think there may have been one, but of course didn't include any Asians. And out of the 73 main speakers, there were zero Asian American. So that's not representation. So how was that conference for me? I decided to go anyways, because I was up for this. I was up for this award. Well, it was as expected, right? It was terrible. And I will do a podcast on that. And I will rope in Lakshmi, who is from New York. She's Guyanian American. And we had an awful time. It was terrible. So unwelcoming.
Well, I mean, you met me, so I'd like to think you at least had like an okay time, but.
I did. So I met, I met some individuals, but overall.
I gotcha.
Terrible. But that brings us to San Diego this year. So I went because I was speaking there. There's a diversity panel, and I was brought in. It was Black and disabled, and let's see. So there was Black representation, disability, two white guys representing the disabled community, and then a woman who was Hispanic and LGBT, and myself. And so that's why I went to that. And that's another story also for another episode. So what was so great at this conference is that three people claimed their heritage. So on the main stage, Sean Kanuga, he's a Indian from Canada, and then the mayor, and then the current president, Leonard Hoops, he's Indian from Trinidad, he claimed his culture too. And so there are three of them, they claim their culture. And so what that does, that is representation in the spotlight, and it says, I claim this, it is okay to be me, it is okay. And so out in the audience, it's like, it's okay to be you and you can share yourself. So that was a big, big plus, because it doesn't feel welcoming there. There are individuals who are lovely, but as a whole, the structure is not up to par. But that there to claim the culture, that is fantastic. So just to review, be informed, talk to your affinity groups, amplify the marginalized groups, and create a space where people can claim their culture. So those are things I would say that your planners can think about. And I have loads of presentations and podcasts and articles about why not to say where you're really from, and about name pronunciation, about racist fonts, about like all catering. Oh, on my podcast, listen to the catering guffaw and what not to do to sound like a buffoon.
No, I mean, I those are all over at jolingjang.com. That website, once again, is jolingjang.com. We are going to put all that in our show notes. So if you are listening here and you want to find out more, get some more resources, you want to connect with Jolene, it is all going to be just look at those little notes at the bottom of your screen. If you're looking at this on your phone, yeah, maybe go to the computer. You get a little bit of a better experience. But either way, I promise you will not have to see me do these interviews. It's a good, I think it's a good thing for everybody. Listen, Jolene, we are coming a little short on time, so I want to get to the end here. We started off the conversation by saying, aren't Asians all alike? So I want you to, or sorry, aren't all Asians alike is how we started this conversation. So let's come back to it and say, aren't Asians all alike? I think I said that
Okay, let me
right.
just help you out here. So as you know, and hopefully your listeners will come along and say, "Oh, they are different. I don't know how, but I understand that they're different." So let's start looking. And I just wanted to give you a couple of teasers. For example, my ex-husband, he's Vietnamese, and I asked him, "Oh, what's your aunt's name?" He said, "Oh, that's aunt number seven." What? Right? Okay. And then when I was in Cambodia, I noticed that all the restaurants had garbage cans underneath their tables. Well, that's convenient.
Yeah, I mean, I like that.
And in Japan, I just was there in three for 3 weeks. You can't find a garbage can anywhere, except for at your hotel. You have to pack out your garbage. Japan is incredible with their systems, their standard operating procedures, and they do so much with so little. And I think that event planners can learn a ton of how to systematize their systems. Oh, and one last one. So Hawaii, I mean, I hope people know this, but in their language, there's only 13 letters. And I thought that was neat. And they were banned, Hawaiians were banned from speaking their language for 100 years. So just a little couple tidbits to
I
get you
mean,
interested.
I want to play Jolene Jang. Oh, good Lord. It's like I need some more letters in my thing. I want to play Jolene Jang trivia because I think it's fascinating. Jolene, this has been a great conversation. And again, if people want to find out more, jolenejang.com is the website. The YouTube is there, the LinkedIn, the Instagram, or however you want to connect with her. Please reach out. She's a great resource. She's opened my eyes to a lot. And I don't know why I'm talking about you in the third person. You're right here. Jolene, you have opened my eyes to a lot. In fact, actually, I think there's an episode, future episode that we need to work on about having meetings in different Asian countries and some of the traditions and cultural norms that we that American planners need to pay attention to so as to not to to make everybody feel welcome. So that's maybe we'll have you back and we'll do
To talk about
a whole other
Japan
episode of
from a
Japan.
Japanese American perspective, talking about Japan. Yeah, it's just mind-boggling. I just
You
fantastic.
mean aren't all Asians aren't all alike and you can't tell me about a
Oh,
meeting in
stop, Daryl,
India?
stop. You're
No,
getting dragged
I
in. Thank you
stop.
for having me,
That
Daryl.
it is our pleasure. We are going to come back right after this break. Thank you, Jolene. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see all of you in just a minute.
Well, I'm inspired all over again. Jolene shared some great ideas on how we can be more inclusive to not only Asians and Asian Americans, but really everybody at our events. Now, you can get all of her contact information and social info, as well as learn more about her programs and speaking engagements at jolenejang.com. That is JOLENEJANG.com. Now, we like change here at the Miracle Workers Podcast, and if for a change of pace, you'd want to actually email us something that you've seen at a meeting that really got your attention, or that somebody you met, or just somebody you want us to do an episode about, drop us a line. The email address is miracleworkerspodcast at gmail.com. That's plural, miracleworkerspodcast at gmail. Don't forget, we're also on Twitter or X or whatever it's being called these days, at MW the podcast. And don't miss a single new episode. If you go over to Spotify, for Google Podcasts, for as long as it's in effect, or maybe YouTube Music or whatever that's going to become, Apple Podcasts, basically wherever you get your podcast style audio materials, click the subscribe button, rate us if you can. We love 5 stars. We won't pay you for it, but we hope you'll do it out of the kindness of your heart. And new this week, we are now on Amazon Music. So you can follow Miracle Workers Podcast on Amazon Music. You can follow it and get new episodes when they become available. And you can also listen to the latest episode of the Miracle Workers Podcast on Amazon Music. Again, they're not paying us for it. We're just shamelessly plugging the show. And I think that's everything for this week. Well, you know, since Amanda isn't here, and we really miss you, Amanda, please come back. Please. There's not going to be a virtual high five, because that would just be weird if I high fived myself. Thanks for a great episode, and thanks to our guest, Jolene Jang. We are going to see you next week. That's right. We are doing more than one episode a year now. Next week, we're going to do a follow-up on The Rate is Too Damn High, and it's going to be an episode where I rant and rave and maybe, you know, do a little education on resort and destination fees that hotels try to stick us with. Amanda and I will see you there.